Stardate 979.7108. Welcome to a special edition of Star Trek Discovery Pod. I'm Mike Moody. Joining me on the view screen is
Grant Davis
and Mariah Gossett.
Clyde Haynes.
Guys, welcome. Today we're live streaming a special pod to break down and to celebrate arguably the biggest Star Trek news of the year. Enterprise is coming to Blu-ray.
What am I here for?
No, we're getting a new Star Trek series with Anson Mount as Captain Pike, Rebecca Romijn as number one, Ethan Peck as Spock, set on the Enterprise, and it has a great, long, nerdy-ass title, Star Trek Strange New Worlds.
Yeah, that's right. This was announced today, May 15th, by CBS All Access, and the logline for this series says, Strange New Worlds will follow Pike, Spock, and number one in the decade before Captain Kirk boarded the USS Enterprise as they explore new worlds around the galaxy. And they probably won't die. Or, you know, at least most of them won't die.
No death. That title, Strange New Worlds, has me really optimistic for what this series will offer. So we're going to break down everything we know about this new series in this short little bonus ep. And if this is your first time watching or listening to the pod, hey, we're a Star Trek podcast covering all the new Trek shows from Discovery, Short Treks, Picard, and now Strange New Worlds and more. So you can subscribe to our show anywhere you find podcasts. Just visit our website for the subscription links to at StarTrekPod.co.
And we are streaming live on YouTube, so if you're watching us live, join in on the chat like Marge and Chupi, and let us know your opinion on the new series announcement and drop any comments, questions right in the chat. A little later, we'll be answering some of your questions and sharing some of those live comments, so tag us at Star Trek Pod if you want to see your comment, or just write capital P, capital O, capital D in all caps before your comment or question.
Okay, just to orient everyone, I'm going to hit up the relevant facts we have from CBS about Strange New Worlds. We know that Handsome Mount, Rebecca Romijn, and Ethan Peck will reprise their roles on the Enterprise, which we were all introduced to in Disco Season 2. The show is going to take place a decade before Kirk gets the keys to the Enterprise in the prime timeline. We, of course, don't have any dates in terms of production or premiere dates. I'm sure that kind of information is going to roll out very slowly during the quarantine, but there is already some good development on the show already. The series premiere script is already written. It was written by Akiva Goldsman, who wrote and directed a number of Discovery episodes, as we know. Story by Goldsman, Alex Kurtzman, and Jenny Lumet. Goldsman and Kurtzman and Lumet will serve as executive producers, in addition to Henry, Alonzo Myers, Heather Caden, Rod Roddenberry, that's Gene Roddenberry's kid, and Trevor Roth. Alex
Not Kurtzman, Trevor Roth.
Fucking Trevor Roth. You know, I'm out. Alex Kurtzman says, these iconic characters have a deep history in Star Trek canon, yet so much of their story has yet to be told. With Akiva and Henry at the helm, the Enterprise crew, its crew, and its fans are in for an extraordinary journey to new frontiers in the Star Trek universe. We also have Aaron Byers, Akella Cooper, and Davey Perez serving as co-executive producers. Alex Goldman will remain as executive producer. All right, so you're basically getting some new blood in the writer's room, headed by Akiva and Alex Kurtzman, the Brannen and Braga of this era of Star Trek. So let's get some hot freaks. If you're just listening to us for the first time or watching us for the first time, a lot of podcasts will give you hot takes, but we're a Star Trek podcast. We give you hot freaks.
Always hot.
So, always freaks.
Who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
All right.
This is, I don't know. I have such a mixed opinion about it. Like, I get that, what's his name? Anson Mount was very well received by most viewers of the Star Trek universe, of the fan base. Everyone was really excited for his performance. But at the same time, they are really wedging in this show between what it seems like are already established timelines on the top and bottom in a way that feels like more prodded by fan service than probably initial conception or original conception. More like, hey, we have this star that everyone really wants a show from. Can you make a story for it? Which, you know, it could be great, but I don't know. I don't know necessarily what to make of it. I do appreciate that since we started this little podcast venture, it seems like Star Trek is very happily hooking us up with a bunch of content we can discuss nonstop. So, I'm eager to see what more develops of it, but I think it'll be tough for them to film everything over Zoom calls.
Yeah. I got to jump in to say, I love it. And I think we all knew this was coming. You know, Grant, you say fan service, and I say this is capitalism at its best. I mean, this is a traditional spinoff. This is what happens, right? This is Cheers, and you go, well, we got to do something with Frasier Crane, right? Like, why not spin this off? Like, this is everything that we've seen in television history. I just feel like we don't see it that often anymore. But here was a situation where they brought in Pike and Spock. And yes, I complain that we didn't see Spock nearly soon enough. But when we got him, it was like, yeah, I want to see more of this Enterprise. And I thought it's a perfect fit. They jumped Discovery, what, like 3,000 years in the future?
They've 1,000. Cleared the slate.
1,000 years? and we still were, the whole point when we first started watching Discovery was we wanted to see this prequel to the original series. And, you know, they teased us with this whole idea of 10 years and the idea of at some point we were going to run right up against this Kirk series. And then they jump us into the future and it's like, oh, just kidding. Well, now they go, hey, guess what? We're still going to give you that original promise. And you've got, like, the characters that they have are amazing. So I'm excited.
Yeah.
Mariah?
I'm on the same team as Clyde. I'm really excited. I think that the original series has so many fun plot points and characters and worlds and aliens that we can now explore with way more technology and special effects to make sure it actually looks really good. So I'm really excited to explore all these alien planets. I hope we get a little bit more of a traditional adventure of the day type of style instead of it being so serialized. I think it would be kind of fun to see what we can do within that context as they can do that within TV writers, within the writer's room. How can they make this fun and creative now and a little bit different from the rest of the new Trek that we're getting? Because I do think we still enjoy that type of television. A lot of adult animated series still rely on that, where there are building jokes and elements so you get to learn more about the characters. But the plot is sort of wrapped up in a nice little bow at the end of each episode. So I'm excited to see what they're going to do with it. I think all of these actors bring really unique things to their characters. And I'm stoked to watch number one chow down on more burgers with habanero sauce. So,
well, Mariah, I think we may have gotten your computer mic. So you might want to check that out.
Oh, no. I'll double check it.
I've got to say quickly, Mariah, I was thinking about this earlier. Sonequa Martin Green aside, so Burnham aside, I feel like we're finally going to get the female number one, like, character that I thought we were all going to get originally with Discovery. So I'm excited. I was looking back and thinking, like, okay, this is going to be something we haven't seen in a while, right? Really since about Janeway. So I'm excited that Rebecca Romijn is entering this universe where she's got these great chops, and yet we're going to get to see her work. So this is going to be, I'm really excited about this. I'm sorry, guys. I'm just really excited about this show.
This is not the place for you to show excitement for a continuing Star Trek franchise. I mean, I think that it. Yeah, I
get excited with me, Grant. Come on.
I didn't mean to come across as so negative. I am still excited. I'm glad we're going to see more Anson Mount. Did Rebecca Romijn's number one talk much in the episode and a half that she was in? I think was she?
She was in about three episodes, and then she had a good deal of interaction with Spock during one of the short treks, which was really good and promising. And what's funny is that we've seen more of the Rebecca Romijn version of number one than we did of the original number one from the original series.
Well, before I go into my thing, Mike, what's your hot freak?
Well, first off, I want to share my favorite fan tweet about this news from nerfherding_SM. This was replying to us at Star Trek Pod. She says, "Can't wait for this show to be shot with proper health and safety protocols in place to keep the writers, cast, crew, and post-production crew safe. Well, so we can all enjoy the further adventures of Pike number one, the Pike number one era of the Enterprise."
Yeah.
Agreed. Yeah.
Yep.
I think.
Yeah. And I think, I think we're going to see during this quarantine time, a lot of people like, when is this show coming out? We got to be patient. I think that was a really solid tweet. But other than that, I am super psyched. I heard about this announcement today. From the short video that Handsome Mount, Rebecca Romijn, and Ethan Peck posted on Twitter. And after I got over being struck by the excellent quarantine beard, Handsome Mount has beard? That puts mine to shame. I absorbed the news and I just couldn't stop smiling. I didn't know that this is what I needed to lift me up during this time, but I'm super grateful that this, you know what I'm grateful for, guys? That this giant corporation has just decided to take more of my money by giving by giving me more of what I want. Thank you, CBS overlords. But I'm really excited about the prospect for this new series. Like the tone of the announcement plus the show's name, they both point to this, to like presenting this uplifting, aspirational, exploring the galaxy vibe of Trek that we don't get a ton of from Discovery or Picard. And I love Discovery and I enjoy Picard. Those two shows are very different from each other. And I expect this new one, it's going to be way different. It's going to like do its own thing. So I'm glad we're getting different iterations of Star Trek in this new era. I'm optimistic it'll be a fun, zippy adventure show probably, but with some depth. And it's just going to explore the vastness of the 23rd century. It's going to be great. I hope with this and with Lower Decks, we'll see more shows down the line over the next decade that will take Trek into like different directions. And we'll see like new creators tell new stories with this franchise. That's what I'm excited about. But Grant, your point is very well taken. This is a huge reaction to the fan reaction to Ethan Peck. I mean, to Anson Mount. And I think a lot of people liked Ethan Peck too, but
Romijn, baby.
Yeah, I know Mariah's excited about Rebecca Romijn. I'm pretty excited about her too. I thought she was great in this role, and I'm excited to see what she does with number one because Gene Roddenberry's main squeeze, Majel Barrett, played number one back in the original series, and she was cut out of the production really quickly. Some politics behind the scenes. She just didn't stay on the show very long. But the introduction of that character was great. Mariah, I know you've seen a few episodes with that character. Can you like tell us what you thought of her in the original series and what you think we'll get in this series?
I mean, it's so hard because it was so short-lived, but I think Rebecca Romijn does a good job of being very professional and direct and being, you know, a character who really knows her stuff. And I think that's going to carry over. I'm Yeah, I think we should definitely revisit this on the Patreon on our Badass Ladies series, and we can maybe see what we gather from that character and how it's going to carry over into Rebecca Romijn's performance. But I always enjoy when a character is so confident in their knowledge of what they're in charge of, and the actor can really portray that and bring it to the forefront, because I think it can be really intimidating coming into such a huge, you know, enterprise, not to have that fun joke. I had to do it. I'm sorry. I tried to find something else to say, but to come into such a huge enterprise, a huge brand, can be very intimidating. And so I thought Rebecca Romijn did a great job of just being like, I'm going to own this character. I'm going to give it a little bit of my own spin, but I'm going to carry the confidence all the way through.
You know, it's interesting to, oh, you're going to say something, Grant? Jump in there.
I was going to talk something crazy though, so I don't know if this is the slot for it. My recollection of number one, I don't know why, I thought she was an android. Am I wrong thinking this? Was she kind of robotic? Or
She's very cold and robotic. I think they even make a joke about that in the original series.
Were we discussing the idea that that she might be a robot, though?
I do not believe she is a robot.
No.
Okay.
Yeah. That seemed early for that, like tech-wise, that seemed early.
Also, did you watch the short trek with her and Ethan Peck, Grant?
No.
You should.
When they're stuck in the turbo lift. Yeah.
Mm-mm. Yeah. I think it gives a really good glimpse into the inner workings of that character. So I would recommend it if you want to dig deeper.
Yeah. Okay. So if we're left with this time span, it's funny that we discussed this previously about like, Discovery is going to have to work as a show to kind of to thread that gap between what we already know has been the sequence of events. And then I felt like in a way there was like this little bit of relief of like, they blasted way up into the future. They don't even have that concern anymore. We get to see new things. And then for them to kind of just like swoop back in with this show and go, nah, we're still going to explore the stories there. It's interesting, I guess, because we do have some other characters that have been established in that world, like the Section 31 and more Ash Tyler. I don't know.
I think, I think this does put them in a tricky place in terms of playing with canon. But the cool thing is that Pike had the Enterprise for 15.
You're doing it again.
I'm doing it again. Pike had the Enterprise for 15 years before Kirk did. And we never really covered any of that ground with the character. And to some extent, depending on who you talk to, the one episode of Star Trek in which Pike, well, actually he's in two episodes, but the original pilot with Pike, depending on who you talk to, may or may not be canon. So a lot of what was established with Pike can really be played with. I think they're safer here because this version of the Enterprise doesn't have as much screen time as, the Kirk Enterprise. And it doesn't seem like the show is going to be doing anything so radical like Discovery did in terms of having this mycelial network, you know, spore ship. It's just the Enterprise and they're just like flying around, you know?
But I think that's really what I'm excited about, Mike. Like, there's so much that's so different and so pushing the barriers that I'm hoping that this gives us a show that is just fun, right? It's fun. Maybe it is a little bit of fan service, but I think what we've seen, and I can't believe it took them this long to figure out, is the market for Trek is there, right? Like I'm looking at this and going, they're figuring out that no nerd culture is uber profitable. Just like you do one Spider-Man movie and you realize, oh my good, I can run these movies for 2 decades and every time I'll break box office records. No matter how much Trek you give us, you can give us different pieces of Trek. We're gonna consume it all, right? So this Pike era Enterprise, I mean, I'm in. I'm all the way in. And I think, you know, I don't need a Discovery that challenges everything. You know, I don't need something that's going to push the boundaries so far. I just want something that I can turn on and really enjoy. And I'm seeing characters that I want to follow and want to know what's next. And the stories are written well. And I think that's what I'm going to get from this crew.
Yeah, I don't necessarily want or think we'll get a regression because, you know, we have Discovery, we have Picard. Those are definitely plotted out like current peak TV dramas. But I think we're going to get a little bit of a little mix, maybe something like Fringe, where it's some episodes of the week, but then you have a long arc going through. But I think we'll get more like fun, fizzy Star Trek planet exploration type things. Like Mariah, I think you're the one who really likes the away missions on Discovery. Mm-hmm. We'll probably get a lot more of that here since this series is called Strange New Worlds. So we're definitely going to go visit some strange new worlds, hopefully in every episode or every other episode.
So do you think if we get away missions, will there be an ongoing running joke about red shirts?
Oh, I hope so.
I mean, maybe I'm the only one who's like a little bit skeptical of how much the Trek universe can continue to expand so rapidly.
I mean, the universe is ever expanding, Grant. Haven't you heard?
Sure. Okay, fair enough. But but at the same time, I understand taking a look at Marvel's model of like, man, you can just keep cranking out movies left and right and left and right. And there's an unquenchable thirst for that. But at the same time, I think that there was years and consideration between the rollouts of that before it became kind of this big machine. And there was a lot of back material to kind of build off of in the Marvel Universe. And maybe that's the same with Trek. I'm not as familiar with, I know there's some books, maybe there's like a few comics, but is it as fleshed out in the background mythology as like, you know, decades and decades and decades of comic books that Marvel was able to draw on?
There is a lot of ancillary material. I mean, Trek has been around as a franchise for what, 50 years?
Just about.
And during that time, we've always had Trek represented in some form, whether it was novels, books, comic books, and then of course TV shows and films. And if we only had the TV shows and films, I think there's enough to explore that was presented in those that, you know, there's a large history and there's a large mythology. And that's great, but I would like this show, even though it's a prequel, to build upon that and give us brand new things.
I mean, Grant, we watched Enterprise. Like, we literally watched the series Enterprise. We'll watch anything.
Not me. Not me. And, okay, I'm setting myself up unnecessarily as a foe here. I get that. But I guess it's just like being inundated in this world with too many things. I recognize that as a member of this podcast, I'm pretty much signing myself up to watch every single one of these and also on time and also discuss them. So if I'm a little bit like, oh, okay, this is going to be a lot, and they're going to layer on top of each other, and now we have Picard running at the same time as Discovery, running at the same time as the Strange New Worlds, running at the same time as a Section 31. Maybe,
well, they're not all going to run at the same time. These are going to be like 8 to 10 to 13 episode seasons that are not going to currently.
Well, I mean, it's going to be like maybe a week break between one show and then the next, right?
Not necessarily, because we will have the live action shows are going to be Strange New Worlds, Picard, and Discovery, right? We might get the Section 31 show that keeps going, the light switch keeps turning on and off on that, so I'm not sure what's happening with that. And then the other two shows are aimed at different audiences, and they're on different networks, the animated shows. And this just means we are going to get Trek year-round, but also like there was a question about online. I was talking to people talking about, I was seeing people talk about fan fatigue or franchise fatigue, but I don't think we're going to get that here because it seems to me like these are really different shows, even though they take place in the Trek universe. Plus we're a streaming culture now. So you don't really, I mean, you can watch these whenever you want. They'll always be there.
We can't.
Well, here's the other thing though, is because of the quarantine, we're going to see some pretty large gaps in general in entertainment. Mm-hmm. So I know today they started recording the soundtrack and the music score for Discovery, which means we're getting to the later half of post-production, which is encouraging, but that still means, you know, a final edit hasn't been made. It has not been mixed. It has not been mastered. So there's still a lot that needs to be done there. And none of these other shows have started, like they're in like pre-production. So we probably have 2 years minimum before we see this Pike show, I would say. I have heard from some folks working in entertainment, some shoots are scheduled for July to start for some things happening in Los Angeles. But again, that's in Los Angeles and they're trying to come up with how that's even going to look. There's talks of like whole cast and crews having to quarantine together for 2 weeks with temperature checks in order to go on set. And so I think we're going to have a significant delay in what we're going to see coming out. However, I do think we're going to see the animated series perhaps sooner than we thought, because animation can still happen in this sort of world. Actors can still do their work from home that way. Yeah, so I think it's going to be a while. I will also say, as someone who is a fan of RuPaul's Drag Race, who's often thought I'm going to get fatigue from this show, it never happens. Right now, on Friday nights, I normally watch a 3-hour block of RuPaul's Drag Race. There is Drag Race, Celebrity Drag Race, and the Untucked, like, behind-the-scenes Drag Race show.
I've never heard you mention this show before.
Wow. Yeah.
This every is, time. We didn't know you were a fan. Yeah.
You have no
shocked.
Idea?
What
is it about this show that appeals to you? I mean,
but yeah, and they've already announced like an All Stars and Drag Race Canada, which are going to start in June. And I'm already like, bring it on. I'm ready to watch all of it.
I will say, to Grant's point, though, you know, we are in peak TV, and I'm finding even in a quarantine world, I can't get to it all. Right. Yep. So I've got to really love it, and it has to stay top of mind. Like, I'll binge 3 episodes and then realize that 3 weeks have gone by and I haven't come back to that because there's just so much stuff to watch. So I think that's the only risk, is that there's so many options. You have to structure it and have a strategy about when you offer it, so that it's almost like the minute that Discovery ends, you're providing content that people can go right into, and then just keep it going. So there's almost not an off cycle. So it's like year round Trek. But if
we need vacation from Trek.
Well, I'm sure there's still going to be the typical breaks in TV when new stuff is not on. Usually the like November, December block is pretty much reserved for those big like seasonal blockbusters for families going to the movies. I think that's still going to be an off time for television. And then there's also usually that weird August, September gap where we usually see a gap in new TV. But we'll see if that trend actually continues.
Okay, well, let's stop. I was just going to say, I'll stop whining. We'll move past that. Let's get into talking about the show a little bit more, because here's what I'm wondering. With shows like Breaking Bad, when that ended, they followed it up with the prequel, Better Call Saul. And a lot of the complaints about Better Call Saul is, well, we know where Better Call Saul ultimately ends. It ends at the beginning of where Breaking Bad is, and I would say, you know, they did a brilliant job in once again taking the outline of what Breaking Bad was and applying that to Better Call Saul, where you're going to show a character transform from one type of person into another through the entire series arc. And it's going to be a slow character study that's done really well. But also, we're going to bring in some of these outside players, some of which we also kind of know the fate of, and others who we really do not. And it's going to make it fascinating. I guess, in a way, what they also did that was really smart in that show was they dangled these events that happen after Breaking Bad. And so you're constantly kind of wondering, well, what happens after that? That's the other little hook that keeps me kind of engaged with this, that other mystery. So do you guys think that we will see elements of this show that will be constrained just to this time period, or maybe something that kind of hits into areas of the other shows?
The playbook is unwritten, really. They can do anything with this show. Star Trek and time travel, just as we've seen with Discovery, they're going into 1,000 years in the future. We think we know the ending of Pike's story, but maybe we don't. We know that he had a second life after his life was severely compromised in the series. So maybe we can explore that as well. There are a lot of good comments here in the chat. A lot of people are saying, some like Paul Gregory is like, sometimes it isn't about knowing what will happen, but how it happens. And that really resonates with me because, you know, it's just all about the execution. I don't really need, I love that aspect of Better Call Saul. Like, we might one day get to see what happens after the events of Breaking Bad with Saul Goodman. And right. Yeah, but that show is, even if the entire show was about what Saul Goodman did during the time of Breaking Bad that we've already seen, I would still be watching it because those creators can tell a story. Like, just the way those stories are executed is extremely compelling. And that's what I'm looking for here. I'm hoping we're going to get, because we do have some new blood in the executive producers and the writer's room for this show. We have Akilah Cooper. She's an NAACP nominated writer. She's written for Grimm, Luke Cage, American Horror Story, The 100. That's a really good lineup. And Davey Perez, who's written for Supernatural and American Crime, which is a really little scene drama, but it's great. So we're going to have some new blood in here. These aren't just writers. These are people who are positioned as executive co-producers for the show. So I hope we're going to get some, you know, some new stories from people like this. And in terms of new stories, I think I want to see Pike. One of the things I loved about Discovery with Pike was watching him interact with the rest of the crew, like Stamets or, you know, people outside of the bridge. So I'm really looking forward to what the supporting cast of this show will look like. And I think we definitely need more representation as of now with the cast on this show, because now we only have the three leads that we know of. But there's opportunity there, right? Trek has always used the bridge and the ship to show, to present this great idealistic version of true representation on TV, and they have another chance to do it here. I'm just feeling really positive about all this. I hope that's okay with you.
I got so excited when you brought up time travel and like Mirrorverse, because the original series also had a Mirrorverse episode that is one of my favorites. And the idea of a Mirrorverse Pike just got like handsome mount in Mirrorverse. Can we just take a minute to appreciate what that could be?
Do you think he's
I'll be in my bunk
in the Mirror Universe?
Do I think what?
He's ugly mount over there.
Oh, I do. Oh, not
what if he
so.
Has an eye patch?
A scar.
Ooh. Yeah.
Mirrorverse Pike has to have a scar.
He's going
to
be edgy.
He has like some acne scars.
Like wears leather all the time.
Pierced earring and a motorcycle.
Hey, let's dive into some of these audience or listener comments and questions. Okay. Let's see. Did you guys see any that you want to point out?
Spillman Tom has a question saying, does Pike have a dog or cat on board?
Wow. I see Pike as a bunny man.
A bunny man?
Oh, God. You're a bunny man. You're projecting.
I think he's a dog person. I think number one is a cat person.
Tension. Okay. I don't know. He's going to have like a weird pet tribble or something.
Oh, that could be fun. I thought I was trying to look for a comment that I saw earlier. Anyway, I agree with you, Mike. The writer's room has me very excited about the talent they're bringing in, and I'll be stoked to see how they kind of flesh out the rest of the writer's room as well.
So Marge has a comment here. She said, Handsome Ansem emphasized that the new show would be optimistic. But I think that they always kind of emphasize that with Star Trek. Maybe not with Discovery season one, but with season two, they definitely did.
Bill Blakefield says, do you guys ever regret having Discovery in your podcast name since you're now like a regular straight up Star Trek podcasting? Oh,
that's a good question.
Who cares about SEO?
I always thought that I thought it was, you know, it was kind of cheeky to name it Star Trek Discovery Pod for sure, but it works both ways, right? We're discovering new Trek. That's what I tell myself at night.
I mean, the truth of the matter is when we signed up, we were signing up to do Discovery, and we had no idea that we would end up talking about everything related to Trek. I mean, it's not a big stretch for me because I talk about anything that's related to Trek anyway. But, you know, I'm okay with it.
I think also Discovery is the flagship show, mm-hmm. right, of all new Trek. So I think it works okay.
Agreed.
And listeners, you know, while you're watching, you're welcome to ask questions. But there is something I wanted to bring up about the announcement video before we end this.
I was going to ask you that because you were giggling like way too hard before we got on this.
Oh, okay. The video with Pike and Ethan Peck and Rebecca Romijn?
Yeah, mm-hmm. There's this.
Which
this
made my heart grow 10 sizes. Okay.
Right.
Okay. I'm very immature. But I feel like someone could have taken a look at the phrasing of what Rebecca Romijn says, because she goes, I can't wait to put on that gold Starfleet uniform and deliver number one. And no one else? No?
You're laughing at a possible pee joke, Grant?
Possible? Possible pee joke? No. Copywriters, get in there.
Let's just be thankful she's not number two.
I guess. Okay. Okay, fine. I'm out. Bye.
Yeah. Well, what do you guys think about that announcement video, Mariah and Clyde? I think it was great just seeing them from their homes and seeing them genuinely excited. These three actors have really felt genuine to me in their love of the franchise and their appreciation for getting the chance to play these iconic characters. And in their appreciation of all the positive comments they've gotten from fans. So I think they're really in with their head and their hearts. And I think we're going to see that on screen come 2028 or whenever this show premieres.
Yeah, I think I agree. I think that's the big piece and the takeaway for me, Mike, is that often you look and I mean, yes, we're fans and for them, it's a job, right? Like, this is a career move for them. And so what we got to see was an opportunity for three people attached to a project who looked and conveyed the experience that this is not just an opportunity, but I'm excited because I'm a fan. And as a fan, that tells me that they're passionate about it. It means something to them. And I can connect to that. And it makes me root for them. It makes me root for the show. And so I think that was the excitement of seeing someone announce something that we care about is always going to connect. So that was my big takeaway.
Yeah, I also really enjoyed that, like, Ethan and Rebecca were both wearing, like, Trek gear. But then Anson Mount was like, this beard is going to give you all you need from me right now.
And he was right.
He was right. The internet loved it.
I loved it. And the
Our
fact
Slack
that it was
channel went bananas for yeah. that beard.
and I love the fact that it was a white beard, right? Like, it was He was saying, I'm not afraid to show my gray hair. Loved it.
JC has a comment that I agree with. That's not it. Sorry, my my internet's going slow for some reason. You can probably tell on my video. JC says, bring back Prime Lorca.
Is JC really Mike with another name?
I would not mind seeing Handsome Mount versus Jason Isaacs on this show. That'd be pretty nice.
There's also talk about bringing back Admiral Cornwell, since she was killed off in Disco, and since we're going into the past, it's possible we could see that character again.
They 100% intentionally did that little green dot floating around after Pike or that's after Lorca died, so that they can bring him back. Whatever that green dot was, that's him coming back.
That is Lorca.
That's Lorca.
Okay, guys. Speaking of that, would you be open to seeing more characters we've seen in Trek before on this show played by new actors? Yeah, maybe Kirk shows up. Maybe Scotty is being trained in the engine room.
Do you want like Kirk at a bar and like Spock walks by the bar and you see Kirk in the background? Just a little unnecessary nod.
I'm all for Uhura, young and old. So, yes, I'd love it. More characters. Fan service. Woohoo!
Yeah, I think it'd be fun every now and again, like maybe once or twice a season, we get like a little fan service nod that way where they're, you know, at the space dock and somebody is coming on board to do something that we recognize. Could be fun.
Yeah. There's a lot of fertile ground for this series. It's an interesting, unexplored time frame in the Trek canon. We're gonna get some futuristic slash retro vibes with the ship, with the costuming, with the aliens. I don't know. It's just hitting me in the solar plexus, man. This is gonna be good, and I can't wait to cover every episode. And Grant, no one can miss an episode when we cover this.
So it's written into our contracts. We have very hard clad contracts on this podcast.
Yeah,
I get it. I'm good. Any, got this, guys.
We wanted to make this a short, just a celebration kind of episode, just to celebrate the news and to kind of break down what we know, which isn't much. Unfortunately, we don't have a date yet. But we do know that script is written. And we do know our three main stars are on board, and we're excited about that. And we do know there's some new blood in the writer's room, which has me very excited. Anything else you guys want to say about this announcement and where it's headed before we log off?
I would just say, make it so safely.
I would say to the writers, hit it.
I would say some other cool catchphrase as well.
Yeah, and before we go, hey, Grant, can you let everybody know how to support us?
Yeah, you guys should totally go to patreon.com/StarTrekPod. Go there and make a per-episode pledge. That means give us $1 or $2 an episode. We're in this for the long haul now, it seems, because they're never going to give me a break from the world of Star Trek. You know, you sign up for one show and, hey, anyways, patreon.com/StarTrekPod. Go there because it's a lot of fun. We have an exclusive Slack channel for anyone who does the $2 an episode limit, and you get an exclusive invite over there. We're also doing a bunch of bonus pods just for the people that are supporting us. We really try to make it worth you guys your money, and we're doing like reviews of a lot of the back catalog of movies, making fun of Shatner and such, and it's a lot of fun. We'd love for you guys to join us. Once again, that's patreon.com/StarTrekPod.
All right, and please tell your friends so that more people can know about the work that we're doing and the fun that we're having and can join in. So please subscribe, rate, and review wherever you listen to podcasts. We'd appreciate it.
Okay, and if you're watching the video, follow Grant at Baron Von Grant, at Mariah Gossett, at Clyde Haynes, at Mike Moody. It's all there in the video. And thank you so much for joining us live. Thank you so much for listening. Live long and prosper.
Bye.
Later.